June 18th, 2011, Boat Launch, RLRD.
Let us know what your relationship is and why you're here. Again, I'm Dick Hubbard. I'm a commissioner, an elected commissioner on the Board of Commissioners, and I also serve as chairman of the subcommittee for the launch. So that's why I'm sort of thinking I'll at least facilitate this meeting, because most of this is going to have to do with launching. We talked about putting together an agenda, and I think all of you understand that what we're here to talk about is boat launching and regs that we have in place on the lake, and also our concern about the lake filling up with debris from that come down into the creek. And then the other thing that I think we would like to address is monitoring who's in charge of the property that we don't have in our jurisdiction. So why don't we go ahead and introduce everybody, and then I'll take item by item so that you understand where we're coming from.
Okay, John and Valerie Ryan.
Okay.
Rushford Resort.
And you guys are?
Rushford Resort.
Which is?
Which is County Road 49 and 243. We have 70 units here.
It's the creek. The creek.
Okay, but it's not, is it Ryan, isn't that Ryan Drive?
Yes, but also both sides are.
So it's both sides?
The bridge going across 49.
So stream side?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, so you have property in the district and out of the district?
No. It's all out of the district.
Well
it's
I don't
all,
think so.
No, no, let me correct. It's all, I think it's all in the district.
No, outside of 49 is not in the district.
Well, all right, some's in, some's out.
That's right. Okay.
All your property is in the district for taxation. None of your property is in the district for regulation.
On stream side?
That's my understanding.
Stream side is in the district?
No, for taxation. All his property is in the district for taxation, and none of the property is in the district for legislation.
But even on the other side of that, I thought 49.
49, no, yeah, 49. The other side of 49. We drew the line right up the creek. The creek, the district ends at the old bridge.
Right.
Your grandmother's old bridge there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the edge of our property.
No,
the west edge of our property.
Yeah.
The district jurisdiction.
No, the district for taxation ends there. At the old bridge I'm talking about is behind, you know where the outpost is? Right,
yeah,
there?
Okay.
Right behind the outpost is an old bridge that was there back in the 60s. For taxation, that is the boundary line for taxation. For legislation, it would be right by Taylor Hill.
So now let me just tell you what I believe is going on then. Then we have a boundary for taxation.
Yes.
We have a boundary for legislation.
Yes.
And we have a boundary for jurisdiction. I would tell you, well, I know that.
Let me say something quickly here.
Yeah.
The district owns the frontage around most of the lake. But as you come up into the creek, and before you get to my property, the district no longer owns anything.
That's right.
It ends at Taylor, just before
and
Taylor.
Exactly. That's where I'm saying we have a line for jurisdiction, because we don't go past where Rochester Gas and Electric
owned. Right, exactly.
The legislation put in the district 49 and 243 are the boundaries. So that's the legislation set that boundary. So we don't have jurisdiction, yet it's in the district.
In the tax
set up.
District.
Well, exactly. No, and then he's saying the taxable district even goes further on.
No, you don't. There's no authority in the legislation of any property that RG&E didn't own.
For jurisdiction.
For jurisdiction or legislation, however you want to put it. There's only two boundary lines. There's the taxation, and it's not arguing the point, but it's for taxation. And for the district's responsibility, there's two lines, and that's
okay.
That's it. Now everything above outside the district line would fall under the offices of the town. So
okay, well let's continue.
Right.
Let's continue the show.
Brad Felsey, and I own it both, and I also behind or across the street from the country store. So I'm in the district, out of the district. Of course, our property starts just past my Aunt Corrine. I'm surprised she wasn't invited guest here because she actually has the property just as you go over 49, the bridge on the left-hand side. She has approximately 5 acres there.
Is that where that pavilion is?
Not the new one.
The old
first camp.
That first camp.
That would be...
So the spot just over the bridge.
Right.
On the other side of Mr. Ryan's, there's that one little launch area. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's hers and Corrine's.
God, who would know? Okay.
So yeah, you're right. She should have been invited.
I'm Cheryl Feldstein. I'm Brad's mom.
Okay.
Mark Dettner, just an observer.
Okay. And are you a property owner?
Yes.
He actually, he rents across from the docks where I'm at. He has the...
That place on the corner.
A really nice little...
The one that everyone always wonders, who's that guy?
He kicked me out and he took the spot.
And knowing your grandmother, she'd be cringing in her grave right now.
She knew the house was gone.
Okay.
And next?
Ralph Gardner, I observe.
Okay.
Bill Stockton, Supervisor, County Dia.
Joe Russo, Lake Manager. Newbie.
Mike Abrazek, Supervisor of Town of Rushford.
Deb Amick, appointed by the Town of Rushford to the Commission.
Dave Hirsch, Commissioner, Vice Chair, and Chairman of the Dock Committee.
Maggie Krasinowski, Commissioner.
Okay, so that's everyone.
No,
it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. Mary Joseph Hirsch.
I'm Hubbard. And you yelled at me last year for calling me that.
Mary Joseph Hirsch, Chief Hubbard, Observer, and Information Gatherer.
Mary Jo's my wife, and she actually has invested some time here with the DEC regarding the creek. That's the biggest reason I believe you're here. Like I said, I believe there were three reasons why we gathered here. One of the crucial pieces, I believe, is that we try to control access to the lake, and the commission has a policy in place that says the only place that you're allowed, that the only place that you can publicly launch a boat is at Balcom Beach. And if any of you are not familiar with how the district is set up, we don't have any way to enforce rules. We can't police, we can't fine, we can barely slap hands if people don't do what we suggest. And one of the things that came up at a recent board meeting was, could we entertain the towns to put an ordinance effect similar to what they do for speed limits that is enforceable, that says that the only place that people can launch is at the public launch area on Balcom Beach. So, two things happen. One is that we might have to define exactly who this involves, because the regulation says that it's public launching. And if somebody is a landowner and they wanted to launch off their front lot, is that a public launch area or is that their private business? And then when we look outside of our jurisdiction, how do we control that? And I don't know how familiar all of you are with the board's concern, and I believe that we represent the constituency that at least elects the three of us, is that the lake is saturating with boats, and we need to control it somehow. There's a strong possibility that what we are looking to do is to do some type of permit issuing that anybody who is on the lake has to have a permit on their boat. And that would be 24/7. And again, it's enforceable because we do have sheriff's patrol, or we could look to enforcing that a little bit differently. But the issues for launching in a public area are, I think they're several fold. One of them is, and it may have gone away, is that we control access from a point of information gathering and dissemination. So one thing is we want to know who's coming on the lake. We want to know that we can enforce or at least educate people on what's going on. So there are speed limits on the lake. There are issues with lengths of craft. There's issue with not having cuddy cabins. There are issues with bait bales and stuff so that we don't have zebra mussels, although we seem to be exempt from that because they don't seem to catch hold here because of us lowering the lake.
And the depth of the water, I guess.
And the depth of the water, but initially that was a huge thing, that, you know, people that came in that did that. And the other thing is that we do like to do some kind of monitoring to know what's coming in and out of the lake just from a population standpoint. And lastly, it is a slight source of revenue. And if it's not revenue, it's at least some summer jobs for college kids to be down the launch and monitoring what's going on. So in that we have that regulation, we know that there is launching going on within the district outside of our jurisdiction. And that's the huge reason for this meeting is, what do we do about that? What's everyone's feeling on it? I know, Brad, you've been approached on this before for, well, you know, letting people pay you to launch at the site. And if the town supervisors have some upfront idea of where this is heading, you know, that's what we're sitting around the table for.
Okay, I talked to Brad when I heard of the concerns of the lake commissioners to find out how he was monitoring his launch site. And after I talked with him, I didn't seem to think, in my opinion, my humble opinion, that there was a problem because he was really strictly monitoring that site. And I talked to him about some of his campers that camp on the other side of 49, and he says it's rare that they even bring a boat. I don't know how many you would have in a season come in camping that would bring a boat. How many do you think? Wild guess.
A dozen.
Okay, 12 boats in the course of the year.
And that's for people right. that are just coming in right. for the weekend.
Now, John, he shut his hole completely down. He don't let launching it. It's yours. You got a wire across it, and nobody launches there.
There's a mobile home on that site now.
Yeah.
You couldn't launch there if you had to.
Where was that, down in the creek?
Yeah.
Where did you have
the
launch?
It was next to the pavilion that we have there.
Yeah.
On the right side.
Oh.
On the right as you're going up 49.
That was put in
many years ago.
West of the bridge.
About 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But we west it hasn't been used.
Gotcha. In the channel area.
Yeah.
Hasn't been right. Go on. Yeah. Gotcha. In many okay. years. Could I just ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
When you say public access to the lake, does that mean, now this doesn't have anything to do with my park, I'm just talking about, does that mean that anybody can have access to the lake? Property
sure.
owner, right? So,
sure.
so somebody
oh, well,
can,
let me explain
somebody can drive in from Rochester.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let me explain the right side. Well, just so we can start, here is understanding.
Let John finish his thought, please.
So, if there is this public access, and I agree, on a Sunday the lake is full of boats, but how can you possibly restrict that if everybody in the world is entitled to be on the lake?
Okay, so the state legislation that set up the district gave us stipulations that we have to maintain access for multi-recreation. So it's swimming, boating, fishing, and something here. Those activities. So we maintain a designated swimming area that's is run by the county. It's our land, but we contract out with them to provide that. And then we actually have a fishing area in the dam areas, and then fishing is also allowed at Valvoline Beach, so we've covered that. And then we have a public boat access area. It doesn't say we can't control that. So the way that we control that is that we have a charge for people to use that lake. And in order for you to not get to pay for it, you have to be a district resident, and your craft has to be registered with the district office, and you get a free pass. So You, as a property owner, or your immediate family, can have really unlimited passes as long as you're a property owner. So if you have a float boat, and you have a jet ski, and your daughter has a jet ski, and you have a fishing boat, you get a pass for each one of those free of charge. And then, because, I guess, because we're friendly, we offer people in the town of Canandaigua and the town of Rushford to get season passes for $40, which allows them unlimited lodging throughout the year. Visitors come in while we attend the launch site. So it can be at will, but it's usually scheduled on a weekend from noon on Friday to about 6 o'clock on Sunday. That's when the busy hours are. Then people who have a boat that exceed 25 horsepower pay $35 a vehicle per launch to use the lake. Those people who have less than 25 or don't have a motor, canoes, and sailboats are free of charge. We might choose to show up on Wednesday, depending on where holidays hit. We might be there the entire week of July 4th, just because there's a lot of activity going, and we choose to monitor that. So what could happen is that we would look at having some kind of a permit issued seasonally, the same way for residents and for town residents, but people who come in on a usage basis, whether it's, this is to be discussed how we might handle this, the idea is that there would be a tag similar to if any guy's campground, there'd be an envelope, you put your money or check in an envelope, put it in the slot and tear off the side, it would be your permit for the day. So every craft on the lake would have a permit on it. And that could also be a week permit or maybe a month permit. If you were going to rent a place for a month, instead of paying $35 a day.
Oh, well, you're talking about strictly motorized craft.
Motorized
craft. Which is really, as long as people are willing to play a game, you're not going to turn anybody away. So,
and we only have to turn them away if they don't meet our criteria. Like
yes,
over 21 feet, cutting cabins.
Sure, right. Makes sense. How many, on a typical weekend, how many people do you turn away?
We don't turn away.
Well, they may decide not to pay the $35.
Right. Well, but that's my question.
Yeah.
I mean, how many show up, want to launch, and are turned away?
We were there for an hour yesterday, and one came through and didn't want to pay.
Didn't want to pay, but then they...
I haven't compiled it, but I do ask the launch attendants to give me a tick for people who turn around, just so I can monitor.
So if you aren't turning many away, how does the change in the system reduce the number of boats on the lake?
Well, it just
seems to me allows us a lot of extra work, and
it allows us to control it. That's how we control who's on the lake, and it gives us access to those people who come down on Thursday and put their boat in for the weekend. Or they come in. And the people that have a problem with it, quite frankly, talk to me about it. It's like, show up at 7 o'clock in the morning and won't pay $35. You're showing it up at 8:30 and I got somebody working.
All right.
You know, it's play the system.
So actually, what we're really here for today is basically there's one launch that there's one launch that's in question here. You know, there's really not...
I don't know.
One launch, it's Jeff's launch, or Ray's launch.
No. No, but if you go around the lake, down in G, there are people that in the front of their cottage are launching boats. Do you want to play the safety issue of this? I don't know. We have a regulation in the district that says the only place to launch is the public launch. I can tell you, and I believe this is now on your property. So last year, I'm out paddling down on the creek, and some guy, just bold as crap, has a pickup truck and an empty boat trailer down, you know where it lies down there around the peninsula there?
Mm-hmm.
Just past that on the left. And it's like just a grassy weeded, this is like a weeded area, and a Ford pickup truck go and just launched whatever they launched right into the creek.
You're talking about the very border of our property, Mondown Ryan and Lutton Oaks?
I'm not sure I quite understand.
Where we talked about earlier, where Brad's at, that.
It could well be on her curb.
That's the one, I think that's the one he's talking about, because if
you're talking,
if you're talking from the water.
That's not on my.
No, across from.
It would be by. I just don't know.
Yes.
I just don't know where you could do that.
Right over the bridge, just where the point is, like across from Funk's.
Right, but like, this was my feeling of it.
Yeah, I see.
That's just like, I'm like, man, that just ticks me off, and it was weekend. And what can I do about it? I was thinking, oh, I should call the town sheriff, the town council or police department.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do? He can do nothing.
He can't do anything, because there's no law. You don't have a law. You can't make a law, so you can't really.
And the board asked the representative to go to your boards and ask for you to pass that ordinance.
I did do that.
Well, and Deb did, and I balked at it, and then basically what we were talking about was up the creek and the responsibility up the creek, and that's why I went over and talked to Brad. I'm sorry I called you, Jeff. I don't know why I did that. But that's why I thought when I talked about having this meeting was to try and maybe simplify what we're trying to do. We don't, more laws and regulations and stipulations and, you know, it seems to make our lives more complicated. The more we do, the more we have to have someone doing it. I think we need to simplify life. Work with Brad on what he's doing there. Tell him what you expect of Brad. If you expect his campers to come in and pay a fee that goes directly to you to use that launch, whether it's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, don't matter, inform him. I think you have an opportunity here to work with Brad to do this to where we don't have to make laws, because then we got to hire more people, we got to call cops, and I just think we're over-regulated as it is. To control who's coming on the lake, you know, I understand it's busy. I don't use it on the weekends, you know? It's nuts out there, but it's not usually, well, Balcom Beach has a lot of cars, and I'm not sure if there are not a lot of people from around the lake that are back lot that don't have a place to keep a boat. I don't know who's on Balcom Beach. I'm glad to see it. The jet skis, you know.
Here's something that I throw out there.
Yeah.
That Brad's in here, not in the district, for the people who camp.
Right.
And those people have access to a dock.
Right.
Where I have people on Parkside and well within the district, and quite frankly, my feeling is that they should have access to the lake at least to walk, maybe even to dock. But those people that own a boat in the district have to go all the way around the lake and go over to the launch and put their thing in. And my further beef on that is, not only do they have to go do that, they have to take the people with them, because they don't have the right to walk on a public dock that's on a right-of-way and allow their guests.
It's not a public dock, it's a private dock. The docks are private, the land is public.
I understand that, but it originally was a right-of-way that was access for everybody back there. Now, there's 10 people on that 50-foot right-of-way, so those people are not allowed to even walk out on that dock. So if those people want to get on that boat, they have to go in the car with them, go all the way to the other side of the lake, and are stuck on that boat all day.
Right. Well, the point is on
and
that.
Brad, and Brad has a little dock.
And that's not what we're here for.
Right there.
But that's not what we're here for. But the fact is that people buy a backlot piece of property without access to the lake, they got what they got. It's not your job or my job to make access to the water better. When you buy a piece of property without access, that's exactly what you bought.
But
to do anything different is disenfranchising the people who do have a dock, who buy a place that has a dock and they pay $20,000 more for it because they have a dock space.
But we're
so
talking
we screw
more
them, or no, I shouldn't say screw them. We want to make it fair for everybody. Well, you want to make it fair for everybody. The people who buy a place without a dock, tell them, hey, kick in another $20,000, and as soon as we get 10 of you people, we're going to go down and buy a place on the waterfront and make you a dock. That's the only way you should be doing it. People
I understand,
need
but,
to pay
but just talking about launching,
right?
And in fairness, those people don't have any place to launch except the public.
They are lucky to have the launch that you operate. And that's
I understand. But then Brad offers this dock to people who other people, quite frankly, if that's the case, why don't those people in Parkside just come down to his place and...
No, he won't, because he won't let them launch there.
But I think that's where the fairness is there.
Brad, how many docks do you have?
There's a total of 15.
Whose boats are in there? There's boats in there. Whose are they?
Actually, someone from Canadia, I'd say half of them are seasonal people that are actually at the campground up off of Taylor Hill Road.
In your camper?
That's correct.
Also, if you've asked him that question, you know, we have to ask Danny and Danny Harris and them, who's in theirs, or even the marina. I mean, I understand that.
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah. I think what we're here for is to see about launching.
Right.
On the lake.
I think that our main, just give me a few words, that if we could get everyone to agree, just to launch, that there will be no launching in the creeks, and anyone with that would like to launch a boat or put a boat in the lake, do it at Belgrade Beach. That's all we're asking at this point in time. If they do it during the week, then there's no one there. If they want to launch on a weekend, they're going to end up paying them $35. Or we can give them an option if they want to buy a season pass and come up with a rate that they could buy a season pass and they have a sticker on their boat and live it there all year. Because what it is, the more boat traffic that we have in the lake, the more erosion we're getting, the more break walls are eroding away underneath. It's really costing the taxpayers, the front lotters, more money to maintain their properties also, because there's so much boat traffic. And I know there's many people that do live on the lake that don't even go on the lake on the weekend, but there are quite a few of them that do, because that's the only opportunity they have to be up here is on the weekend. So we're just asking, basically, that all launching be done at Belcombe Beach, honestly, and that would be it. I mean, do you have any other reason why you're here, Doug?
No, I am concerned. First of all, I want to protect the taxpayers, and as a resident of the town of Rushford, that's one of my goals, being on the board, is to protect the taxpayers. And, of course, the ones who are paying the buku bucks are the lakefront owners and some of the businesses, such as...
I've seen my taxes, you know, it relates back to, I mean, it sort of sounds like me downplaying campers that come and try to spend money. I mean, there's only so much you can spend in Rushford, but I mean,
there's no place to spend anyone.
But I mean, they do, whether it's Ken's or the store or this little spot here or Labor Day Day, these people bring income here. Everyone thinks they bring all their groceries from home and they camp here. Five of my seasonals, four of which bought brand new boats from the marina at Rushford.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they put gas there, they fill up there. I mean, when I hear, you know...
Yeah, I don't think, first, you gotta understand, well, nobody's trying to change things or attack you in any drastic measure, okay? We're just trying to address concerns that come from the lake, because we hear, well, what about the people down the creek? Well, now we can say we've met with them, right? Yeah. A lot of it is the people in the creek don't know the rules and regulations. We don't know who they are. So we don't even know whether they belong in the district or not. Now, I do believe that back in maybe the 90s, they had the stickers that went on each craft. And if it was motorized craft and it was on the lake, it was supposed to have the sticker. One of the problems is the sheriff, when he can get a complaint, he can't identify where that boat comes from or who it may be. He can run the number, but it may show him up in Fairport or up in Ontario. How does he get them here? Okay, so some of that's one of the problems. The other thing is the building and the trash. Again, not saying the trash is coming from you guys, because you're not doing logging, you're not doing any of that. But when you see what we've gotten into the creek and into the first bay and the trash on the lake, that's floating that are, you know, 12 by 12 foot docks.
This is what they look like.
Those pictures could be of my front.
High water.
Yeah.
I had a dock right in front of my cabinet.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
August, yeah, that August.
If we weren't here, we had a pontoon boat from the creek that was on top of our dock slamming into our pontoon boat. And if we weren't here to push it off, it would have ruined our pontoon boat. And I've been on the lake, I'm 63 years old, I've been here all my life, every summer. And this is about the 10th time I've had to deal with this. And the weekend after that high water event, let me tell you what, everyone came out of the creek and enjoyed the lake. And you know what we did? We took our tractor and our front loader and took out 12 tractor, we have a 4x8 utility trailer that we took out all this crap so that we could get our pontoon boat out. That was the following weekend. After Maggie, myself, and another girl dragged four 40-foot trees all the way down because no one came to help to clean this mess up.
Well, I remember that. I was down here too, and I would have to say 15 people called me and people from in the Lake District. I can't get over to the launch. Can I pull my boat out at your launch? I was fine with that. I mean, we have a situation. I also pulled out a couple big trees with a chain, brought it up on shore, wait till it dried up, and cut them up. I still have
picture after picture.
And I still have near my launch a tractor trailer, truck rim with a tire on it, someone's basketball hoop thing with a big plastic thing, just sitting there still, thinking someone's going to claim it, and they haven't. In 2 years, I really don't even know what I'm going to do with it. But yeah, that's a mess. But
I've been having tires on my frontage, for about 4 or 5 years in a row, and I haven't had it in a while. I get these big, like your picture, the truck tire. I get the big truck tire and the rim on my frontage in front of my house. 4 or 5 years in a row. Every year I get one. Now, I don't even know if someone's coming down and placing them there, but I understand. How do we propose to fix the problem you're talking about?
Well, Mike, can I continue?
Yes.
Well, sure. I met 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago, I went with Brad Coon. I represented the Landowners Association. He represented the district. We went to and had a couple meetings plus phone conversations with DEC. The DEC came down and told us that it's a Class C stream. Mm-hmm. They have no control over it. They said you are responsible for it, the town of Rushford. Do you have a flood management
officer?
Because the town of Rushford is supposed to have one. And this is also
what DEC told us. Flood manager, office manager responsibilities be?
I have no idea because they went on to say that because of the floodplain that all of this land is on.
Right. It's a floodplain through there.
That's what the town is supposed to have. And that the town is supposed to be monitoring these things. And the woman's name was Rebecca Anderson. She's the New York State Flood Control DEC officer, and she covers the whole state of New York, so that's why we did your phone conversations or whatever.
Well, and one of the things...
And I don't know. I'm just trying to stop this from happening again.
One of the things that they monitored that when they suggested that, if I recall this, was... There were two issues with the vehicles that are down there. So they considered that the travel trailers that were within that floodplain were okay because they could be towed out of there. And in reality, that is so far from the truth because who's anywhere close to put a vehicle on there and tow them out of there? And
when this happened.
And that...
What units are
DEC?
What trailers?
Are I don't know where the property is, but the smaller travel trailers that you can put onto your truck and trail down the road.
Well, you don't.
But that's what I'm saying. Then there's some down there, and their concern is, oh no, those are okay because they can get them out. So we don't even know. We were just in the meeting that we had before that was the dam committee. We don't even know what's coming at us during a high water event at the dam. So how are people from Wilson, New York going to get to their travel trailer and hook it up to their truck and get it out of here before a flood comes. I mean, it's a reality. It's just...
Well, the campground's been there for how many years, and I don't know of any time we've had a flood where any of that would happen.
I understand that, but that's what they look at. That's what they look at, and that's what they say. And then the trailers, the actual trailers that are the motorhomes.
No, mobile homes.
The mobile homes that are down there, there's regulations to how they're supposed to be strapped and everything. And actually, that sort of leads in to the other discussion about how we operate in the district and what happens in the creek. In the district, for you to build on district property, you have to petition the Board of Commissioners with plans, and we have a list of acceptable materials to use.
Just for the DEC.
Well, according to the DEC, and you also have to get DEC approval to do that. But when you get out of our jurisdiction...
We have state code.
But not for
the docks, but for the trailers, there's a state code. And everything's inspected by the building inspector.
But my concern would be, we have regs for docks, and then you get into just the other side of our jurisdiction, and it's not regulated.
Right.
That doesn't seem right.
Real quick, the last two docks that I put in, one was repair, and I went to Mary at the DEC. I mean, something that could have took me less than a day to do, took me 6-7 months, finally got it. Did the paperwork I needed to do. It was trial and error. In the second one, it's a lot easier now. I know, rules. But I mean, it was crazy. It's different if you got to replace holes and stuff. You're not going in there with a machine. Mm-hmm. You're okay. You can go in and do it. But the second, you're ripping something completely out and doing fully new construction, it's a whole...
But that's what everybody in the lake has to go through.
And it brings up another good point, is that there's an awful lot of sediment buildup in a lot of different areas. So the commission has been looking into the possibility.
Well, that's the next point. I want to stay with construction. So I don't understand that the towns can't implement some kind of monitoring of construction. I mean, if I want to put a big deck down on the waterfront, I don't have to get a permit from the town to do that?
You're in a district, right?
No.
No, he's saying it's on the creek.
On the creek. We have not been enforcing dock permits in the creek. No, we haven't.
But even a deck, what if I put a staircase down to my dock? I mean, I would think that there's some...
Well, here's the thing. If you're building a house like up on that bank there and you go to build, you've got to get a building permit. I'd have to ask the building inspector what would be the regulations on a stairway coming down. I'd have to ask them.
Right. Decks and everything. It's all like the relation to the percentage of the property or the house that exists and how much you're spending and all that depends on what kind of...
But I can do whatever I want as far as a dock or a break wall or a deck down on my dock.
We have not ever, as far as since I've been here, and I've been here for 30 years, we have never enforced dock permits in the creek. It is something we've never been involved in.
But I think the board is saying that we would like some kind of regulation enforced because everybody else on the lake does. And on the other side of the line, it's not.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, Dick, is doesn't matter whether it's the Lake District that regulates that or the town, they just should be regulated.
It's a free-for-all down there.
Well, quite frankly,
when you look, every time we get a high water, these 2x4 docks are what's floating out in front of our property.
Right, now when you get a dock. I just want to know how many docks actually came down the creek in the last 10 years.
I never lost a dock, even in that storm. I never lost a boat.
I'll tell you right now, a Good Friday, Easter Saturday, we had that huge. There were two that came down. Yeah. And they ended up down by Lake Clap because he came and complained about it.
If you guys don't understand this, just FYI, we're in the first bay. So when you come out, it's that steep treed cliff, and then it comes around the bay, around in there and stuff. That's where we are. And earlier this year, when we were coming back from
Good Friday, Easter Saturday, huge rainfall. two docks came right out of the bridge and ended up at Dick Clapp's, and Dick Clapp came in complaining about them.
Right, and Mary Jo said, I went down there and that bay is full. And the moon was out and the wind was blowing the right way and I could see all the debris going down next to the other side. I could just see it flowing down.
And
it ended up being down at Dick Clapp's and he shows up at the board.
Yeah. And so I understand Jim Pomeroy just sent a letter because there's so much stuff down at their end.
And then,
did you get a copy? Did I get a copy of Jim Pomeroy's letter?
I should give you a copy. He didn't.
I understand because I get as much as all you do on mine. It comes right around.
Yeah,
and when it comes around that corner, the wind doesn't catch it anymore, and then the waves just drifted in. And the other day, I was down on my beach, which is supposed to be sandy, and the kids can't even dig in it because of all the pine needles. I don't have any pine trees. You know, all the pine needles have weaved into the sand. You can't put a shovel in my sand. I had to go down there and dig the sand up. It took me over a day to clean just the pine needles, and I don't have them all. So I feel the same things you do. I just pulled the tires out. I waited for the day that the town picks up, and I gave it to them. I just figured that's my responsibility for the property over there. I'm trying to think about what we can do to make life better for the people on the creek, to make sure, because a lot of times people are building things and they don't know any better. And sometimes regulations are good to inform. I know with the building code, it helps. I remember a lady she's up right where Maggie lives. She was going to have her house worked on about 10 years ago, and she came into the town hall, and I could see a target right on her forehead, because she just had lost her husband. She was going to do some work, and I thought, oh, God, she looks like a target for some sleazy contractor. And I says, you know, there's Warren Pomeroy, and there's Danny Freeman. Well, she got some guy, and yeah, sure enough, he didn't do this construction right. It was a mess over there, and she was a target. Regulations would have saved her from that if she would have got the property.
Well, we're looking regulating the contractors that come into the district.
What I'd like to do is to talk to the people who own the creek and see what they would like to see happen. First off, I think when someone builds a dock, say in John's Park, and I'll bet you most of the docks that come down the creek are coming out of your park, because you get the brunt of it. So maybe when they're building a dock, we could look at inspecting it. The town would work on doing something to make sure, and I don't know how you can do it in that creek to make it perfect.
Just let me say a little thing about that. We get, of course, high water, but we get ice in the spring. So if someone puts in a really good dock and the ice knocks it out, you know, so that there's a tendency to put in a temporary dock. Of course, on most lakes around the world, you can't drain the water, and people put their docks in the spring to
take them out.
And so, some of the residents down there have taken that tack and put in a pretty lightweight dock. Well, 2 years ago, August, I don't know, there were several of those out there. I was in there pulling them back, and the owners of the docks were in there pulling them back. And then the boat was a disaster. Between a huge stump and big round bales of hay.
Oh, yeah.
They caught a couple of boats.
Bales of hay.
And the next thing we knew, there were probably a dozen boats that got torn from the dock.
Oh, yeah.
By the other stuff coming in.
Where the dock even went with the boats. Mm-hmm. Three were wedged mm-hmm. under the bridge and destroyed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do?
I don't know. I will tell
kind
you.
Of fighting your nature.
The creek up there is nothing like the lake. And I know that from living on the other side of the lake for a year. I would go by in a rainstorm in the middle of the winter, and that thing was almost bottoming the bridge. And I mean, it's okay out in the lake because there's nothing there, but it's right on that channel coming in that you could have hours that it went from really nothing all the time. Like
of course, if it just came up, it wouldn't make any difference.
It's fast moving water.
Oh, no, it's fast. It's huge as moving water. Oh, my God.
We encourage people to tether the boats to the shore. Everybody is supposed to face their boat upstream so the boat doesn't care how fast the water's going down.
Right.
It's going 10 miles an hour. They just sit there and they think they're out floating around in the lake. And we are encouraging replacement docks where they try to do more of a break wall affair where the water can't get behind it and where there's no piers out in the water.
Is that,
but those are very expensive.
But you
own you're talking property. Like $10,000.
Do you own the property?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I'm thinking, I got one quick question. And because when Deb talked about the launching thing, you mentioned about the truck, the pickup truck with the boat trailer on it. There's a guy in your park, John, on the end, just before your grandmother's bridge, the old bridge there, on the left. He, that's how he takes care of his boat. He, when he wants to use his boat, he lowers it in the water.
Yeah, he's got a wing.
And then when he, and then, yeah. And then,
puts it on his trailer and pulls it up.
And then when he's done, he pulls it out.
He and his mother,
that's one of the smartest ways to have a boat in that creek.
Yeah,
but would you call that launching? Would you call that launching?
See, I think that's where the question of public launching and whether you're putting in your own.
Registration says public launching.
So you would have a problem with what he's doing. I'm just trying to find some boundaries. That would be a good idea.
I don't have a problem because you have launching capabilities on your property.
Capabilities,
not that you're doing it for anyone else, okay?
Yep.
We have what was a boat launch because in the 60s and 70s, Rochester Gas and Electric didn't care how you got your boat in the water.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? I mean, well, there's times where, and they didn't care.
Right.
But the week after Labor Day, they didn't care how many boats are in the water if they were dropping it.
Right.
You have to take it out wherever you could.
Yeah.
But the reality is the lake is different now.
The lake is a whole lot different now.
Yeah, things have changed a lot in the...
I mean,
the,
it's probably double the at least double the population.
And but that's part of, part of the concern. there's two aspects, and a great deal of time and effort on the commission is spent maintaining the dam. Number one, it's the dam. Yeah,
that's right.
Number two is the safety of the people. So, safety of the people. When you got all this kind of debris and stuff, we know it's nature.
Right.
How do we handle it? What are we going to do about it? How can we reduce it? The water, this debris out of the lake is hazardous for the boats, it's hazardous for the people on their shorelines, it's not good for the water quality, all of that being said. Throughout New York State, multiple areas, back up, we put a lot of attention on the dam. Very little is put on the fact that it's a 61 square mile watershed. And we take in what Centerville sends us, we take in what New Hudson sends us, we take in part of what Franklinville sends us. And, the hill, Mount Monroe, all of that. A lot of what we get is, I'm sure, left over from tree cutting, because some of the, when you get 10-foot logs that are this wide, cut straight, coming down, that's not coming from the district. That's coming from the 61 square miles.
Right. And that might be what's taking out also some of John's cars.
Well, I think it's a chain effect. I think, that you get those bales of hay and they're bouncing around
To begin with, why were the bales of hay as close to the creek as they were?
It's an upstream problem.
I mean, it was to be addressed
under a watershed council. No rules, Mike.
Yeah.
No rules.
Yeah.
No additional rules. Cooperation.
Yeah.
New Hudson, Centerville, Rushford, anybody downstream. If you got whatever you got for logging or whatever you got for development, please make sure that the secret reports, any of that kind of stuff, takes into effect that we downstream have to deal with that. We don't want to lose the lake in the middle of the year. Last 2 Augusts ago, they have to open the gate. 1959, we lost a full lake when we had to open the gates. And got a log jam down in there. There wasn't any way of getting it out unless we opened the gates and removed it.
Well, when they opened them a few years ago, they had no way of getting that dam back down. They were sandbagging.
Because it was never...
July. It was a few years ago.
Before the repair, I think.
Before you guys put the downward pressure on the spillway. It was a very dangerous thing to do in July.
The other item that's on the semi-agenda, so we talk about access, launching access, I still am concerned that we have a district regulation that says that it's only in one place and we can't enforce that. The other thing was construction, and I think that you said you were going to see if you could look into how you were going to...
Well,
I don't necessarily have a problem with numbering their docks out there and taking it under our wing. I don't want to hear that. But the other thing that is of concern, and it sort of dovetails into what Maggie said here about the watershed, is there is a concern in front of the Board of Commissioners right now about the lake filling up with sediment. So I know, and again, I'm speaking from private experience is that what's in front of our cottage in the bay, that's a lot shallower than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and she can talk about 30 and 40 years ago. And we see it when the lake's empty. It used, the topology of that bay is different now than it was 10 years ago.
If you come back here in, I don't know how many years, say 1,000 years,
it would be filled.
The lake would be full. Empty. I mean, no lake.
That's Mother Nature doing anything. Just as Mother Nature cut that lake, you know, it was a natural lake.
Right.
And they, over a million years, the lake was drained.
You would not have a place, tell me if I'm right on this, because I believe this would be correct. You would not have a navigable water had you not dredged it. Is that not true?
We've done it several times and it cost
$10,000 or $20,000.
But
that's what we're looking to do
in
two or three areas. And I'm looking for that, I know I had Jim Pomeroy's letter out. He talks about the watershed, and this watershed area in the stats that he provides are acreage, square miles to acreage of a lake, and Silver Lake has this ratio of something like 15 or something to 1.
15 acres of watershed to 1 acre of
water. Whatever the ratio was. We're something like way off the scale. And I mean, there were several around. There's Lime Lake and there's that. So they're all 13, 15, 16 or something like that. We're like 68 to 1 acres per square feet.
So that's a lot of...
It's
soil. That's not going to be a problem.
When you get to Mother Nature, it's just...
But I don't know, and I don't know what you guys, I don't know,
but that's true.
I think this is where the DEC involvement from flood control and things like that is a fitting fit here, that who's paying attention to it?
Well, my problem with DEC is they're just heavy-handed, and you know, we live in a world of heavy-handedness anymore, and I'm trying to stay away from it. We've got three issues here, and I see that two of them I think we can really work on and probably take care of. The one issue is the launching. I'd like to set up something between, you know, Brad and the district to come up with some kind of plan. You know, when you own a piece of property, you should be able to enjoy that property to the full benefit of the property. Brad owns a property that benefits him because of the way the topography is to the lake. That's a benefit. He paid for it. He got it. Well, however he got it, he got it. So that's an enjoyment. A backlotter bought a piece of property and can enjoy it to the full value of that property. However they choose to buy, they can enjoy it full-heartedly. What I'd like to see is an agreement between Brad and the district and how he can satisfy you and you can satisfy his business, because it is a business, and in Allegheny County, we don't have too many of them. Do I want more people on the lake? Hell no. I don't want any more people on the lake, but I also don't want to say I'm telling you can't come to the lake, because we are a tax-exempt entity.
Yeah, legally we can't.
You can't. You can't charge for driving on our water. You can charge for launching, but you can't say you need this sticker for on the water.
They had it
for the launch, because I never had a sticker on my boat. The other thing is, I don't know if the sheriff would enforce...
The sheriff will enforce whatever laws the towns
the
have.
The town, it has to be a town law.
They have something to write up.
It has to be an actual law that the towns put in. They won't even enforce a town code of some sort. You know, that has to be handled locally. So on the lake, you can charge for launching, and I agree, it's helped keep a lot of the jet skis off, and it has slow traffic down, so that's not a problem. But when it comes to the campground there, 12 boats in a season, I don't see it's going to be a major change to our quality of life, but I do think that a dialogue between the commissioners and Brad, and even with John, is a good idea. Okay, that's one problem. The other problem was the docks coming out of John's park there, and I'd like to find some way of working with the people in this park to make sure that when they go to put a dock in, it's a better dock. But said again, Mother Nature, you can put anything you damn well please in there, put it in concrete.
Don't get me wrong, I mean, any one of us in a high water event, we can lose our dock.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could lose the dam in a high water event. I mean, come on.
Yep.
I'm not disputing that, but it's just the fact that, like I said, nobody came and got these docks. I mean, we pulled out 6 docks after a week because no one came to get them.
Yep.
So, I mean, come on. I'm not in the business of removing docks from the lake.
I know, I pulled one dock, it was down in your area because it had a boat still attached to it.
Yeah, and a gas grill.
Yeah, and I went and rescued it. The guy came to my park looking for his boat. He says, I lost everything. I put him in my boat and we went up, we found it and I towed it out. I don't even know where I towed it.
I mean, that was another issue. It had a gas grill on it.
Yeah.
We found 2 or 3 floating gas tanks. People never came and got gas tanks. Yeah. We had gas tanks. Well, we had about 7 jet skis.
We tied up some boats on our share.
Well, that's what we did. I mean, we tied things up. We didn't. That's what I said. The following weekend, we were pulling. We had to get them out because we couldn't get rid of any of this crap.
And so, what do we do about erosion?
Yeah. Okay.
I just have one question. I think about the launching then. Mike, yes, about the launching. We have, in our own district, we have people on holidays and weekends that are coming in with 2 jet skis on a trailer, and they'll launch down at Lakeshore Drive, they'll launch on someone's front lawn property. Is there anything that the towns can write up that we can, if we catch them, we can take their plate number, tell them, and that the towns can enforce a fine on these people? We'd have to put signs up, and that would eliminate a lot of traffic to them. It's not all coming from the threat. It's coming from all over the lake. I've seen it happen myself, and I had to tell people to go down to the launch. That's where the launch is, you know, on Belva Beach.
Per trailer over at the launch. Because I know 2 people have a jet ski, now you charge them $70 a launch. That's hard to swallow.
I understand but the thing of it is, we wasted years. I mean, for the weekends, I'm sure the majority of the people wouldn't even want the jet skis. We're not in there to make money. We have a job there to control the traffic on the lake.
Slow traffic for the weekends.
I would like to see if the towns could do something that even on people that are in the district that are launching illegally or people that come from other areas and just launch down like Lakeshore Drive or different areas, that if we could get a plate number and their numbers of their craft and give it to you, and then maybe you could call these people in, and if we posted signs around the lake, no launching other than Belva Beach, otherwise you're subject to $150 or $200 fine by the town, that would prevent a lot of traffic on the lake also.
Yeah, of course. Well, the question is how do you do it?
I know I've had people in my park on a weekend bring a jet ski and friends and that, and I have a very close friend in my park who I think the world of, and he had to go to the launch to launch his jet ski.
But
the only thing I said to Deb, and I remember I used to say to you, if you don't find a way of accommodating these people, I will. Mm-hmm. And that meant something on Saturday. And that's what I insisted on her. Otherwise, I say, if you don't find a way of accommodating the people in my park on a Saturday, then I will accommodate the people in my park on a Saturday.
Oh, you mean
if they didn't have a way of getting in and getting a permit or doing something, and I never allowed it. I mean, I just never wanted to get into that. I don't want launching on my park.
But I also believe that the public launch is an information vehicle. The signs are posted about speed limits. The signs are posted about what we expect people to do. And you let somebody go in down there, you don't know who they are, or you let somebody, it's like, then it's a free-for-all for them. It's like, well, I know there's a speed limit here. Well, if you go in the launch area, you know there's a speed limit.
Last year, 4th of July, we were out in the pontoon boat, and luckily, one of our guests said, that jet ski guy is in trouble, and it was Charlie Zahn's son's jet ski.
Charlie who?
Charlie Zahn. You know Charlie.
Well,
it was his son's jet ski. Well, the 2 kids who had it didn't have life. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. And they dumped the thing, and the thing was nosediving. We ended up towing it out, getting it over to Sandy Beach, and pulling it up on Sandy Beach to get the water out of it. And then they went and got a trailer and, you know. But, I mean, that's another issue. The kids didn't even have licenses. They didn't even know what the hell they were doing on this vehicle out on 4th of July weekend, out in the middle of our lake, going gangbusters.
Yep.
One thing that always comes up too is the responsibility of the district.
Somebody
gets hurt out there.
Oh, yeah, somebody gets hurt.
So, you know, this is Dave's number one question. Are we liable for that?
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line as to caring?
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you, Maggie. You know, they always say, you know, well, if that just saved one life, and you know what I used to say to that person? Well, let's just shoot that person, get them out of the way, and move on with life.
Well, yeah, you
because
know,
because basically, we're always saving that one life, and we're making their life more damn miserable.
When they talk,
let's just shoot the guy. Be done with it.
Last winter, there was a lot of discussion about ice fishing on the lake. Right? There was a lot of discussion about ice fishing
on
the lake.
Yes,
and what the lake level was, and utilizing this jewel a little more year-round. And they're questioning, oh, well, you know, the ice is unsafe and this and you know, the lake level fluctuates. Well, I don't know a fisherman was going to jump 3 feet over water to get to 5 inches of ice.
No, it's not when the lake is coming up is the danger. It's when the lake goes the other way, because at some point you have to lower the lake, and when you do that, you have the bridge. The problem with the ice fishing, and I was very anti-ice fishing because in 95, I think it was, we had ice fishing, and also in that same area, yeah, we did have ice fishing back then, and it was about the time we lost the contract with the financing with RJ&E.
That was 2000.
Well, it was the time that you didn't want, well, 2000 was with the extension, but in 95, I think, was it's 15 and 5.
Oh, and the 15
yeah.
and 20.
So anyway, but my point was is that when we took the lake over, I met with the RG&E engineers on the dam, and I asked the engineer from that RG&E had hired to take care of the dam. I says, well, what kind of life expectancy you give me on this dam? He goes, oh, well, 50 years. And I kind of took, 50 years, that's it? I says, you know, that's not much. He says, well, no. He says, because the guy who takes my job will give you another 50. But with the saving grace on this dam is the fact that the ice never stays at one spot on that brick fascia. He says it's allowed to free float, and if it gets too high and they lower it, it's never staying at one spot. To have ice fishing safe, you have to maintain a level on the water. You have to maintain a specific level. And there's only two levels on Rushford Lake. Full or spillway. Those are your only two levels.
Well,
to maintain without someone opening and closing valves daily because of the amount of water coming in. So my point on the ice fishing is for the few who might benefit, and I remember the ice fishermen, there were probably three guys that used to go down there and do some ice fishing. But the safety of the dam, I think the ice fishing could be very detrimental to the dam. The other thing that happened in that era was the fact that they had these ice balls, and I think Bill,
that's when they kept it up at 14.
Yeah, they brought it way up, and then we had these big ice balls on the opposite side of the lake of the dam, because there's some weeper holes in the dam, and I don't know what they're all about, but these big ice balls, and I know ice and concrete, geez, you know,
that's when they're talking about maintaining the level. Nobody's talking about
and that's what they did.
They tried to maintain
a level.
A winter level, and it's almost impossible.
It's impossible. And we had a fire on the over by where I used to be on the other side of the lake. And I remember I saw a guy coming across the ice, because we had a fire. I was in a fire company then, and I looked over and he wasn't there anymore. I thought, well, he must have went back, because I wasn't really paying a lot of attention. Well, there was like a 5-foot gap between the ice and the water. He fell through.
I've fallen through the ice on the lake.
Yeah, and there was no water underneath. Yeah. And so that to me is, if you're going to allow people to go on there, you've got to provide the safety, as you say, you know. I mean, we've got to save everybody's life. And the only way you can do that is to keep that water up against the ice. And to do that, you have to regulate the level. And unless you have another way of doing it that won't damage the dam, ice fishing on Rushford Lake is a very, I think, detrimental thing to the lake.
It's they do it at their own risk.
Well, you can do things at your own risk, but you can't sign away your rights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we don't.
You can't.
We won't.
So if you post no ice fishing and they go out there and ice fish, they are on their own risk. Mm-hmm. If you allow someone to go out there, if you don't say, well, it's okay to ice fish, now as a government entity, you have taken on the responsibility of protecting that guy from himself.
They can go to Cuba Lake.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great place to go because they kick out 3 2x6s and they got their lake level.
Yeah.
wish we had two by six. So, but let's get back to the problems. There's three problems. Two I see are easy. The third one I see is very difficult. This is the debris coming down the creeks. A lot of that debris comes from farms. Farms, no, because I've been involved in trying to regulate farms, you can't. Local government cannot regulate farms. We can't regulate what they do or don't do. We have Joe Strezlak, who you know is a good friend of mine in town, and he's got all this crap. And when he disperses it, of course, can't you do something about it? Well, no. No, we can't. Because DEC gives him a permit, it's called CAFO. CAFO says he can do it as long as he abides by their rules and nobody can do anything about it. I called Albany, I set up a committee of citizens, I said, okay, you show me what I can do and I'll do it. And I got all the information for them and they contacted Albany. I contacted a guy in Albany and I says, look, Joe's building a pond up here and I agree, it don't belong there. And the guy said to me, he says, if you fool with that farm, we will protect him. Guy in Albany, he says, I don't know who this guy is, but farms do not fall under your zoning laws, right? So, I just, and what I said to these citizens, I said, look, just talk to Joe. Don't expect me to be the Gestapo on Mr. Strezlak. Talk to him. He come up, saw the pond, talked to the neighbor, fired the guy that said he's going to put the pond in, and the pond didn't go in. He says, I wouldn't want that damn thing to go in the window either. But nobody's willing to talk to anybody.
But I believe that that's what we're trying to do, and I think one of the things that Joe, as a lake manager, is going to be charged with is to try to get a little bit more of a consortium of people who worry about the watershed. And part of that might be that there's some education there, because when we go to the Federation of Lakes meetings, there are some good practices which save farmers an awful lot of money for how they put their fertilizer down,
right,
and at the same time save runoff into streams and water bodies. They don't know it.
They don't want to spend any more money on fertilizer.
No, and they do. Joe works by a set of regulations. He's got erosion right now on a creek. It's been eroding for centuries. And DEC says, if you want to maintain your CAFO permit, you will fix that erosion. He goes, my God, it's been eroding there, you know, when God put us here, you know, and he doesn't matter. You got to fix it. So he's got to fix that. So they do those things. They have programs for these guys. I mean, he's under very strict regulations of what he does. So I think what we need to do is, number one, we can fix this. As long as you guys can come up with an agreement, do you want him to shut his launch down completely? Do you want to hinder his business? Or do you want to work with him to make his business better? And he will work, and I trust him to be honest and forthcoming on any decision you guys make. That's number one. I think that would be a good fix to the launch thing. The other thing is on the docks. You've got a new lake manager here. I will look into what your regulations are on docks through this gentleman, if you don't mind. And maybe through the town of Rushford, we will work with him. He can maybe do something with Johns Park to make sure these people are putting in proper docks when they're putting them in. If there's a problem,
good idea.
The town of Rushford will manage the problem. Okay. You guys won't have to do it. We will do it. But you will be informed, because I would like to,
sure.
Mm-hmm. If it's okay, work through this gentleman here.
That's why we got him.
Okay. Yeah. If that's what you want to do, we can do that. He can report to, you know, he can report to both of us. He can report to the code enforcement officer, says, okay, this is what I told them to do with the dock in John Ryan's Park, and we will make sure it happens that way. And if there is a problem, the town of Rushford will take care of it, because I think John's pretty responsible.
Now, there's also, what, 7 properties down in here that aren't yours?
Yeah, they're private properties.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, within the boundaries of the 25 acres. See, Dad and I started selling lots. And stuff.
I remember that, and then it's made just down.
Yeah, and the, well, you know, Ryan and John.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Two
like
properties.
One on each side. Isn't that right?
That's right. And then further west, there are two more. They're all water.
Yeah. I wonder. My question is, because now, like Fridman's, right? That was Fridman. 30 years ago, they owned it. 30 years ago, they had a real nice dock, but as the years went by, that dock sat there. I mean, that dock made its way in, down into the water.
That dock washed out constantly.
Okay. Well, there's...
Is that one right on the curb?
Yeah.
On the right there, because I had nothing to do with it.
No, but also right now, is there still a bench sitting in the creek?
Oh, by the...
I think that's it. I just noticed that the other day. I think that's a joke. It isn't in the creek, you know. It's in the...
Well, but where the...
I don't know anything about that.
I know. There's a bench, a big town bench sitting in, like, with a back on it.
It's either a joke or some kids or something are going down there.
Yeah, there's a bench.
Can we...
It's not in the water.
Well, it was.
Well, when the water's hot.
I don't want to create a bunch of words here. But I'm seeing this a little bit as maybe even a dock association of the creek. And if nothing else, can we get an inventory of what they are? So that we at least know that they exist and who the owners are, so we could have Ryan, I mean, maybe it's Ryan A, Ryan B, Ryan Z, Ryan D, and it would be nice to know who is in charge of it. See, it's really sort of interesting that it's your property, but all these other people are doing all the work on it. And it's like, if we issue a permit, we would only issue you the permit because you're the property owner.
Well, I know what you're saying, but...
But I'm just...
I don't
have a problem.
Tenants build a dock if they want one.
I understand.
And if there are rules on how that dock has to be built,
fine. Well, what I'm thinking is we could at least get an inventory of them.
Well,
and it would be nice to know that you were the property
owner. It's turnover every year.
But you know what? The dock association, our dock associations are required every year to let us know who's on the dock and what their numbers are.
I think that leads to another question. That's if the district imposes any kind of changes or regulations or boat launch fees, we notify the people that are registered within the district. But we have no way of knowing who your people are and your people are.
Oh, and my part. Yeah, well, I just gave a list to your secretary.
Okay, because that's...
I think my wife did. She was supposed to...
Well, that was one of the...
Oh, sure. Pass off the responsibility to your wife.
Hey, if it wasn't for my wife and Rita, I would have quit this job 29 years ago.
Well, that's kind of the thing. That there's no vehicle to communicate to your tenants or my tenants.
I gave the women the ability to have babies because they know if we did, there'd be no babies. If it wasn't for paperwork, if it wasn't for babies,
we progress to each dock.
That's not politically correct.
I don't know who they would belong to.
Not to be argumentative, but since I own that property down there, without my permission, you don't have any business going in there.
No, taking we don't have no...
I'm not saying that these two aren't...
Do you own the creek?
Yes.
Yeah, they
own the land under it. I'm on both sides of it.
I'm trying to get an inventory of it.
Right.
Well, we could just drive down there.
I think the more important thing is, really, your issue with those docks is occasionally, especially 2 years ago, August or September, they get flooded out. And there were, I'll take your number for it. I don't know. I don't know how many, but it seems to me the answer is to do the best you can to build a better dock.
Yeah. Right, so but they've got to be educated on what that is or how to approach it.
I'm happy to do that. And if there are guidelines, and then Mike talked about maybe perhaps letting the building department approve of the dock. That's a great idea.
I think it is too.
They do that. They do that.
Easy to do.
But you also need to do that, and we do. So when we issue with the district, when you come to us and petition us to put a dock in, the board looks at it, and we do an on-site, and we agree that the size and the setback and everything was okay. That's our permit to you. You still have to go to the DEC. And we've had some information from Lake George. Those people have to go further. They have to go to the Park Commission. And the Lake George people have to go either to the county or the town and apply through their permitting process.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's not unusual.
Yeah. Okay, to shorten this up, Mary Jo, you
want
something?
I guess my suggestion would be that the district stay in contact with John and Brett. And I mean, give these guys the heads up on, you know, what the, you know, you know, give them a form or whatever, and then they can work with the town. I mean, they're the liaison between people that are renters, seasonal renters, in and out of people, whatever they are, and like John says, it keeps changing, so it would be who you just go through the property owners, and they can disseminate the information.
We'll work with you.
Okay, so you guys are communicating about what we talked about?
The launch, I never opened, like, today or tomorrow, open to the public. I mean, I have a spot that I could have right next to his place here where I could put a huge parking lot in and say, hey, launch, go have fun. I don't do that. I don't see doing that.
Actually, if you didn't have a launch, you'd have two more dock spaces.
I do like the convenience of, there is one seasonal that has a jet ski that doesn't have a dock thing.
Yeah.
For him to come in during lunch and stuff and bring it up, it's there. He's not running all the way around and popping back up, you know. He'll tie off to my launch or, and then shoot up. That's convenient for him.
Right.
I have three other seasonals that don't want to pay the extra spot. I don't have a spot anyways.
Right.
I leave one open for the people that come in on occasion that wants a dock space or an emergency where someone needs a spot to get in. They have a spot. There will always be an empty dock there. But,
well, so for your seasonals, my season, and I have the seasonals, my seasonals are treated special. You say, I think they get a $5 permit or something.
That was originally back in the 90s.
So if you had seasonals and they're in a town of Rushford, would you work something like that and deal with him?
Probably not.
Why?
Because I think the conversation of the board was that we were probably going to abolish that $5 deal.
Well, the $5 is only for launching. If people don't take their boat in and out of the water, they're just going to launch at any time anyway. The $5 is actually something you'd get if you abolished it or you made it some crazy number. You just probably wouldn't get anything then. That's what government generally does. They generally tax themselves out of a business. So my point is, though, at least for the short term, just to get a start here, until you change the regulations, if you did it, for Brad, just the seasonals, and let's say the transients, the people who, and I don't like to use that word because it's a terrible word, but that's
the weekender that comes
in. The weekenders come in. What would you like to see? I know your preference would be to use Balcom Beach. That would be your preference. His preference would be to have the attraction of the launch. What kind of compromise can we work on that?
We can't stop them.
Okay, you can't stop them. So my point is, if you can't stop somebody, the best thing to do is have a negotiation and get something for it.
And I never minded, I think I talked to Dave before about, you know, do you want even a smaller fee, you know?
It's not a fee thing. The fees don't do anything for us. The fees, literally, the only reason that exists is to keep the people off the lake.
To keep as many off
the lake. And I will tell you that the launch attendants down there don't have any problem with nicely saying when the people are like complaining about the fact that it's $35, they have smiled at them and said, well, we don't have a problem if you don't come to the lake here because we really don't want you here. So go to Cuba Lake. They let you to launch for free. I'll give you a map on how you get there. We can tell you how to get to Silver Lake. It literally pays their salary.
Right, but they're coming strictly to go on the lake. These people are coming, they're camping,
it's not the dollar. Yeah. It's not the dollar. It bothers me more that you're making money than me losing money.
It bothers you that he's making money?
Well, because he has access to do that. And I mean, it doesn't bother me, it's just like...
Well, he owns a piece of property, and he's benefiting from the property. Never fault the free enterprise system.
No, it takes care of all of us.
So the point is that he has a property that he's able to benefit off of, and I'm trying to find a way of making... If he restricts it to just his...
campers,
people who are actually coming to camp, not to boat. Not boating is secondary. Camping is primary. And he won't let anybody else launch there. Would that make people somewhat happier, a little happier?
I think that would be
a
very good
time.
You know,
I think that's where he's at anyhow, though.
He is now, but I think there was a time when people were launching. Now he has because it was brought to his attention, and he responded to that. And I think that's a wonderful attribute for him. He responded to a problem without being
When I first started up, too, I didn't have a whole lot of income
at the time, and you know, you did what you...
You get a buck where you can, legally.
Now that, you know, it's filling up, and it's going to be that way, and we're...
And you want a relationship with these guys?
Yeah, would you mind if, like, Dick and I work with you along the way here?
Not at all, I never have.
Would you mind that?
No, I don't, okay.
And Maggie, I don't care who it is, it doesn't matter to me, it could be all, the whole board, I don't care.
Oh, please.
But we need to start something, we need to start...
Yeah, but you know what, I would much rather be doing stuff out on the lake than sitting down in a friggin' office for 8 hours.
Well, the thing of it is, though, we get to...
I'm telling you, no, it's ridiculous.
I haven't been on my boat once, my boat is stopped, I picked it up, and that was it.
I get screamed at from people in your park, and your park, Mike, about not being in the directory, I can't put in the directory for people I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'd be happy, I'd be happy to put them in, but I gotta have it by, like, March 15th.
Well, in the past, have given a list of the people in our park on one or two occasions, it isn't something that happens annually.
It doesn't happen.
It could happen annually, I mean, we could set that up to do that, so you have names.
I think you should buy a page.
But the one thing that we did, the one problem that will be the most difficult to manage, and I don't know how you're gonna do it, is the environmental one from all the other towns. That to me is gonna be a big project. I don't know what, I think it'll almost be further ahead to find a better way of taking care of the cleanup than to try and manage what's coming down them creeks. I think you'll find a lot less work figuring a way of keeping the cleanup going, like working with, say, with the towns, the town equipment, the people, work in a joint relationship.
You bring up a good point there.
That would be so much simpler than trying to go up into,
you know,
Centerville and tell some of those guys you can't throw crap in your ditch anymore.
You're misreading what I'm talking about there. I'm talking about basically the same type of thing, an informational thing. We're not telling them what to do.
Right.
We're not, you know, asking them to sit on a meeting once a month.
Right.
We're talking
information. We need to get information about the watershed, a nice letter to every town board to put in their meetings and to talk
about
that,
that's right.
The people in their
community. And Allegheny County Soil and Water Conservation should be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That National Resources Council, whoever is out there.
But I think it'll be a lot less energy if we just work on the cleanup and find a way of doing the cleanup that no one person has to do it.
Maybe get some help from the town.
You know, there's a possibility there. I'd have to get that through my board, but...
And
my highway superintendent.
The Allegheny County...
I gave a stop sign the other day. Did he get it up or what?
It's up.
Oh, good. The Allegheny County Comprehensive Plan calls for shared services between municipalities.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know why that should be...
What was that?
Shared plan.
Mike, is there... Their comprehensive plan, Allegheny County's long-term comprehensive plan calls for shared services among municipalities, so...
And we do that pretty well, don't we, Phil? The shared services, we're doing 9 towns right now.
Well, you know, I mean, the point... There's some erosion going on at the fence down in Balcom Beach. It would take a small load of maybe little riprap to help this erosion part there. District has requested that the town maybe do something about it. I talked with Willie, and now I'm told the town don't want to do it. So the district is going to have to hire a truck or get a contractor in.
We can come in and do some stuff like that. We can help you out in that area. I don't see a problem there. What I would have a problem with, we came in and took work away from a contractor, but bringing in some rock
this
for
is, you know,
the
where the drain comes down Balcom Beach, goes under and along the fence?
Down Balcom Beach. Oh, I know where you're meaning. Yeah.
Along the driveway.
See, a lot of water's coming in there, and you know the reason.
Yeah, there's a ditch there.
Yeah, there's a ditch there, but the ditch is blocked at one spot.
Where's the ditch?
Some of the water would cross if it had another access, which...
Further down?
Yeah.
Regardless, what's going down there?
Where it's my place, there's a crossover pipe that's not, I don't think it's working very well. Not to say that in the very near future, I've got a couple board members who are possibly working on something there. I chose to...
But that's kind of like on that side of the hill. This is on this side of the hill. It may affect it or may not, but regardless.
Yeah, I get a river down by my house, and I got a crossover by my...
The water flows good over there, okay? There's not a problem with how the water flows. The problem is that it's eroding back.
Right.
And the break wall, I mean, you got a big little bay getting created there, okay? Because it's just washing away, washing away, washing away. And it's just the length of that fence.
A letter, a request.
I just need a reminder. I don't need a letter of request. I just need after I walk out of this room, I have to have someone say to me, hey, Mike, do you remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't do it yet. But I'll talk to Willie. If you want a load of stone there, you just call me. Maggie, if you want some stone there, you just let me know when, and I'll work with Willie on getting this something.
Have Willie come over and take a look at it. He looked at it last year. I showed him last year.
I'll talk to, when I see Willie, if you don't hear from me within the next 30 days, yell at me when you see me go by, because...
Do you have Willie? I only have Ed.
This age.
No, I've got Willie.
But I will work with Willie on that.
Do I have to yell at you because your hearing aid will be turned on, or is it...
No, that's how you get my attention.
The problem with the launch thing is in your house. It was lame.
What the hell has that got to do with mine?
Because he goes off yours and trips on it, I think.
Well, no.
So, I'll talk to him.
We'll set up something later with John on the docks and...
Mike, do you have anything else to add?
No, I just appreciate you, you know, all coming together and doing this.
It's always the answer.
This is always the answer. Yeah.
I talked to Brett before. Brett's easy to work with.
Yeah, when I stopped and talked to him on how he was managing his launch, I thought it was very reasonable and very respectful.
So. Yeah, I know.
The sun is shining.
You're really tall.
It's going to rain.
Yeah, let's go enjoy the lake. John, you got to enjoy your daughters.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for talking.
And Valerie, you gotta enjoy your daughters. But it's Father's Day, so I can tell.
Oh, that's right. Hey,
I didn't see that. Yeah, I was talking about the lake.